as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I tell you what, we sure had a good time on vacation. We ate a lot. It's like that's all we did. We ate breakfast, dinner, supper, all over the place. All over the place. We ate at the crab trap. That was really excellent. We ate at the jellyfish. That was good. We ate beignets at a place across the street. They went get it and brought it. Plain, filled, chocolate covered, all kinds of beignets. Where else we ate? All kind of places. Oh, y'all ate what? Spars. We ate at Spars coming home. Y'all ever ate at that place? Spars? The crawfish, the bread with the crawfish on top. Gosh. Oh, Spars is on Highway 90. You have to go. We find it coming. It's from New Orleans area. Well, more this way, but that's how we come on Highway 90 so that we can stop there and eat. y'all ate pizza. Some ate pizza. All kinds of stuff, people. But we had a good time. We went on a dolphin tour. Well, dolphin out in the Gulf, and we saw dolphins and stuff. That was really nice. That was nice. Walked on the beach. Y'all had some, I think we sent pictures. I don't know, whoever got them. Whoever's names we have with numbers, we tried to send, you know, how that is, the men and all that stuff. And walked on the beach, laid on the beach some, just, you know, relaxing and having fun. Went in the swimming pool some. The kids enjoy that. But it's always good to come home. There's no place like home. You know, I know that's, you know, the show, but, you know, no place like home. But there really is no place like home. When you go far and you come back, you just thank the Lord for the blessings that he's given you and what he's given us, how blessed we are, you know. I mean, just in everything that we have. And it's just thank you, Lord, for what he's given unto us and what he will give to us and how we can use it for the kingdom of God. So praise God. I want you to turn, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 16, please. 1 Samuel chapter 16, page 496. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank God we had no trouble going. We're in three vehicles. Everybody got there okay, and everybody got back okay. So no problems, no flats, no. And, you know, we didn't have any rain over there. Cool, that was more, hey, really. We went, we had a little bit of drizzle, we got there. They might have had a few little drizzles at one time. That's it. All the days that we were there. Now, coming home Saturday, we caught some rain. I mean, it was bad. And then it rained at home. Now, you know, we need to pray. I know we have this other hurricane thing coming, huh? And from what I saw on the news this morning, it's supposed to hit, if I'm correct, like New Orleans area. Is that right? Everybody that watched the news yesterday or today? It's coming from Florida, and then it's coming, going to hit. We're on the good side, so it shouldn't really affect us that much unless it goes further, you know, down than where they're thinking. But when it comes close, and that's, I think, Tuesday it's supposed to hit. Is that right? Monday, late Monday night, early Tuesday. Is that okay? So it's in the night. Is that right again, Mr. Leonard? Okay. You saw it this morning. Okay, twice, okay. So we need to pray, you know, asking God for mercy again. I know we've had devastation in Lake Charles and stuff like that, but thank God for his mercy for us. So let's pray again, people. Come on, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. You know, come on now. We are a faith-believing church where we believe God can do all things. All things, not just some things, nitpick things, but all things are possible with our God because of what he did at Calvary's cross and who he is. So let's raise our hands. And have they named the storm yet? Well, whatever it is. So it's Sally. Oh, well, the one that's coming, like, no, we're not worried about Sally. Oh, Lord, we're getting too far to the Z's here, Sally. Okay. Father, Lord, we come against this, Sally, in Jesus' name, the storm. Father, we pray, Lord God, that yeah, if it has to come, but, Father, you can tone it down in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, Lord, tone it down and that it will not bring such devastation when it hits land, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, the name that calms the storms, the name that brings deliverance, the name that heals people, the name that goes far beyond any other name that we've ever seen, the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we call that thing void in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Praise God. Look, I want you to look at this scripture in Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. It says this, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul?" Now, when the Lord speaks, we need to listen. Amen. Listen and obey, people. Yes. When the Lord speaks, we listen. We listen. And then we obey. Okay? You might say, well, how do I know when the Lord is speaking? The Lord, the Spirit of God will leap up on the inside. The Spirit, you will know from the inside. He can use his word. He can use an individual. He could use your pastor. He can use your neighbor. He can use your spouse. He can use whoever he wants. But even though the Spirit of God can speak himself to you, speaking things to your mind and heart, when he speaks, listen and then obey. Okay? Everybody got it? We listen to God. Because you see, we can get in a lot of trouble when we don't listen. Amen. You see, how many times, and we're going to get to this verse, how many times have we, in a situation, we didn't listen to what the Spirit of God was saying? Because it takes, and I'm going to use this word, effort. And people don't want to use or have that effort towards God. You know, you hear a lot of people say, well, if God wants to speak to me, he'll speak to me. Yeah, but don't flippantly say it that way. Because we need to be led by the Spirit of God, that God talks to us constantly. That doesn't mean we're crazy. That means we're led by the Spirit. That means we're children of the living God. When he speaks and shows us things and reveals himself to us. When he speaks to us on the inside. You ever been to the store or something and you see somebody and the Spirit of God will say, I want you to give them some money. Or I want you to buy their groceries. Don't do it just because you heard somebody say it is good to do. That's okay. But you should do it because the Spirit of God says to do it. You see? And when you listen, when you listen to the Spirit of the Lord and he reveals and says, do those things, and you obey him, there's nothing like it. Amen. It's like, oh my God. You know, just God just, you know, revealing himself to us and speaking to us and showing us things. You know, sometimes it's a prompting of the Spirit of God on the inside. Prompting. Come on. Come on, Joe. Come on, Joe. It's time to do this. It's time to do that. And you go and you, okay, Lord, at that time, let God lead and guide you. And the Lord said unto Samuel. Samuel was who? Samuel was the prophet. okay? The prophet Samuel. The Lord spoke to him. And now the Lord would speak to him a lot, just as, you know, all prophets, you know, at that time, God would speak to. There was false prophets, and there were godly prophets. You can read that in the scripture, and God plainly cuts those things. But the Lord said unto him, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Now here we see the prophet Samuel mourning over Saul. Remember Saul, you know, man chose Saul, and God rejected him as king. God did not want him. Now, you know, I always thought years ago, and I preached this years ago, and I was wrong, that God never wanted a king over Israel. That was wrong. God did want a king. He wanted to be king, but God said he would bring a king, and that first king was supposed to be David, a man after God's own heart. When you look into the scriptures and you read, and you'll see that God had chosen David, man chose Saul. If they would have waited, and that's a lesson for us, we need to wait on the Spirit of God. When God speaks to us, we're to listen, and we're to say, okay, now, Lord, when do you want us to do it? He wants us to obey. He wants us to accomplish what he wants us to do. But we are to wait on the Spirit of God when to do it. You know, some things are immediate. Some things may be next week. Some may be right away. You know, whatever he wants. You see, he's king and Lord. We're not king and Lord. We've given our hearts to him. We've given our lives to him. We're saying, Lord, your will be done in us and through us. We wait upon the Spirit of the Lord to show us things, reveal himself to us, and then we obey what God wants. That's a Spirit-filled believer, a Spirit-filled church. Anointed by the Spirit of God to accomplish what God wants for us to do. My Lord. Here we see, and God says, get out of that, Samuel. It's time to move on. Quit mourning, Samuel. Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Wow. He says, look, now we know what oil represents. Oil represents the Spirit of the Lord. He said, fill your horn. That was those big horns. He filled it with oil. Can you imagine? A horn this big or so, filled it with oil. And he went in obedience to Jesse's house, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king, his son to be king. Now, Samuel had a heart for Saul. He knew Saul had disobeyed God many a times. Saul didn't have a heart for God more than the man on the moon. God knew David had a heart for him. And God had chosen David out of all the sons of Jesse. God doesn't look on the outward appearance of man. You know, man, that's basically all we can see. Is the outward, unless the Spirit of God shows us differently. Because of this, the fallen state that we're in, the sin nature, that's all we can see. We can't see in the supernatural unless God takes that veil off of our eyes to see it, see it with our eyes. So all we can see is the outward appearance of a person. And, you know, and we may look at somebody that's tall and think, well, you know, God could use him, or somebody that's short, that God could use him or not, or how the outward appearance of a person looks. God doesn't look at that so much. Who God calls, he calls. Now, you might say, well, why does God call one to be a pastor or a preacher and someone else not to? That's up to him. That's up to him. You see, when we give our hearts to the Lord, it's up to him who he calls to do the work of the ministry as far as the fivefold ministry. It's up to God to call to do whatever he needs done within the city, whatever he wants done. It's God to call people to pray and to seek him and to honor him. It's God to call people into the ministry of helps to help the pastor. It's God that has to do it. And you see, we got to wait upon the Lord and let God do what he desires and wants to do. And we should never kick, as it says, against the pricks. You know the horse and stuff, how they kick against the pricks, which they kick against it and it makes them go straight. We should never kick it. We should always say, Father, whatever your will is, let me do it. You see? It's not my will. It's not, you know, God has not put in me to be in Gideon's. I can't even be in it because I'm a pastor. So I'm rejected right away. But in somebody else as a Gideon, God calls him to that, to go into churches and raise money for Bibles. God can call people to go into the prison. That's not part of me to go into the prison. But God can call who he wants to do those things. God can call who he wants to be with children. God can call who he wants to do the work and the ministry of his will. See, God called David. And here we see God had to speak to Samuel and get him off of that kick of wanting Saul to be there so much to be king. That God had to say, hey, listen to me. Get off of it. It's not who you choose, it's who I choose. And he went to this man's house of Jesse, and they brought all the sons out. And you know, old little David wasn't there. They didn't even tell him about it. Can you imagine? But always remember this, God provides. Israel needed a king, and God provides. He's the great provider, people. He provides for us. I've been in places, especially with the church, not knowing what we were going to do, people. I'll be honest with you. But you go to God and you say, Lord, what are we going to do? And you let God handle those things. And God has come through every time, people. God has come through every time. Every time. Not just one time, twice, three times. Every time has come through and says, I'll do this. Taking care of it, I'll do that. Taking care of it, taking care of those things. And you've probably seen that in your home too, where God has come in and changed and taken place some things upon your home that needed to be taken care of. See, God can do what needs to be done as we rely upon him and let him work through us and in us. They brought all the sons of Jesse in front of the prophet. And Samuel started down the line. Don't you think he was a little panicky at the end? Guess number nine and not one of them. Don't you start to panic sometimes when God speaks to you about something and you start to do the will of the Father and you get to the end and it's like, oh my Lord. And all he says to Jesse is, do you have another son? Because you see, it's not easy sometimes doing the will of the Father. It's not easy sometimes to prophesy because you want to do what God... It's not easy to step out and say, can I pray with you? When God has put upon that on your heart, you're with some people and you know God keeps speaking to you. I want you to pray with that person. Pray with that person. See, God knows what's happening on the outside, people. We can't see it, but God knows. We got to look to him and saying, okay, Lord, not my will, not my agenda, but Lord, your will and your agenda be done, Lord. It doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter how man looks at us. We do the will of the Father no matter what. We accomplish his will. We look to him. And he comes and he satisfies the inward parts of our souls. That's the power of Almighty God. Amen. Got at the end and no one was there. He's saying, none of these. You have another son. Oh yeah, we do, but he's out there, you know, tending to the sheep. Samuel looks at Jesse and says, let me tell you something, boy. You go get him now. Look, he wasn't messing around. And when that boy came in, probably didn't smell too good because he's working with sheep. Walks in, and the prophet sees him and says, that's him. That's him. They didn't even have the common courtesy, even by his father, to bring him in. Can you imagine? Because they thought, there's no way it's him. See, God will look at the inside part of a heart of a man. And when I say the heart, I'm not talking about the organ heart, but the inside real person where God lives in our hearts and says, how can I use him or her? Because of who they are, what I can do in them, how I can use them to preach the gospel. How can I use them to share the gospel? How can I use them so that the ministry, my ministry, can go forth beyond what I ever could imagine? See, can you imagine when Jesus left, his whole ministry was on 12 guys. When Jesus left, he entrusted 12 men. I don't know how he did it. He entrusted 12 to take it, to have the ministry to go forth and touch the world. To touch the world. Can you imagine? The Father entrusts us today. Can you go and put the air conditioner up a little bit? I can feel it. It's a little cool myself. With that, thank you. The Father entrusts us to take the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ to whoever's around us that we can share it with. Let me tell you, the devil will tell you the people don't want to hear. The devil will tell you that they're too lost. The devil will tell you that they won't listen to us. And I know that. But let me tell you, when God gets a hold of a man or a woman, he can do what he did, just like he did to Saul, and change his name to Paul. Amen. You want to know why? You want to know why that happened to Saul, now Paul? One reason. He was out there trying to destroy the church. You know what the church finally figured out? If we get on our knees and start praying, God may do something. And the churches, because they had his number, because he went throughout Samaria, Damascus, and all those areas, destroying Christians. When I say destroying, taking them out of homes, killing some of them. Now, he personally maybe didn't do it all, but he had men that came with him. But he was head of it. Went in homes, took children away from mothers, destroyed the families, destroyed Christianity as much as, and thought he was doing the will of the Father. And so in all these places, people started praying. And I'm sure the devil would come to them and say, if nothing's going to happen, you can pray all you want. And that's what he tries to tell us. Pray. You know, we've had prophecies. We've had people come and speak things to us, Delaney and I. We've had the Spirit of God wake us up in the night and tell us things about this place that would alarm you. The power of God is about to explode in this place. I'm telling you, with souls, with people that are coming to him because of a hunger and thank you and a desire for God. And you see, you might say, well, look, today, hardly, you know, 20 or so people. That's okay. Look, we want to be where God wants us to be. We want to be where God wants us to be because that's where the Spirit of God is. That's where God's Spirit is. And when we obey the Spirit of the Lord, the power of God moves upon a situation and changes things. In an instant, He can change things. But a lot of times He has to till that ground, water that ground, and get it fertile so that it can be done. You see, how many ministries have grown and been destroyed? We want a solid foundation. The rock of Almighty God. That when a plant starts to grow, that it's so solid that the winds can come, the storms can come, but no, nothing, and I know that's kind of bad language, nothing could destroy it, or anything could destroy it, that nothing can come about that will bring destruction upon it. You see, that's what we want, a firm foundation. Because it says, when the winds blow, when the storms come, if there's not a firm foundation, that house that's being built will collapse. And then what happens to the souls? They scatter. And a lot of them are destroyed. Do you see? Let me tell you something. God is building in each and every one of you a firm foundation by the Spirit of God. The anointing and the presence of the Holy Spirit, firm in Him. You see, that as we trust in Him, that God will move like He wants to move. You see, that we will obey God no matter what. No matter what the world says, no matter what we think, no matter what our friends think, no matter what the family thinks, no matter what. But that we will obey the Spirit of the Lord. Samuel said, that's him. And all of a sudden, he took that, he said, bring him forth. And can you imagine all the other brothers look at this. Spirit of jealousy. Let me tell you, that is so rampant in churches that if we could see it, oh Lord, it would be bad. Spirit of jealousy, that just jealous of families and people. Not good. That's not good. You know? One thing Jelaine and I have always tried to do is treat everybody fairly. Fairly. You know? In treating one just like the other, that, you know, because the Bible says don't treat a rich person better than you would a peasant that walks in. A rich person, you come and say, give him the best chair. But a peasant, you say, sit on the floor, it doesn't matter. You don't do that. You try to treat people in the way that you would like to be treated, and fairly and right, if you can. You know, certain times you can't because of them. But you try to do that because you love them. You love who they are because they belong to the Lord. And so you want the power. But here we had David come, and Samuel the prophet looks at Jesse and said, that's him, the next king. David just, okay, hey, let's go for it. Being comes in, and in front of all his brothers, the prophet takes that horn full of oil that represents the Spirit of God, takes it and starts and pours it over his head. All of it. And it drains from his head. He was a young boy, so he didn't have a lot of beard, big beard at all. Probably not at all. Down his garment, down to his feet, legs and feet. Representing that God was in charge now. The next king. Now God at that point, for Israel said, this is your king. But he didn't take that position till years later. And you know something about David that I loved was that, number one, he had a heart for God. And number two, he never came against Saul. Never. When he could have, and rightfully so could have, even cut off a little piece of his garment it says in Scripture, as he was in the cave sleeping, David went in and cut a little piece where David could have slaughtered him. Because David was king, but he didn't have the position yet. See, God has called many of you to be prayer warriors. People, live up to it. Get over here and pray like God wants you to pray. Come. God has called some of you to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel like God wants you to preach. God has called you to be a helper. Be a helper unto God. Don't look at what God calls you to do as being small. Okay? And you look at, well, pastoring, that's a big thing. Yes, it may be big. Yes, according to the eyes of the world. Okay, whatever. But according to God, when he calls you to whatever he calls you to do, do it to the best of your ability. I mean, let me tell you, to the best of your ability. Whatever it is. You might say, well, I'm not sure what God has called me to do. You get with God, you call upon the Spirit of the Lord, and you ask him to show you. Because there's no retirees in the kingdom of God. You know, in the world, yes. But in the kingdom of God, God has always positioned things. Now, that doesn't mean you don't leave one thing to maybe go and do something else. That's nothing wrong with that. You know, and there's times and stuff for things. But in the kingdom, there's no retirees. There's no pension checks. Now, we get into those positions, but what does God want? And let me tell you, do it to the best of your ability. I don't care what it is. In the house of the Lord, out there, do it to the best. Saying, Lord, help me to go a little over and above what I'm even supposed to do, to do what is right. You see, when people get in the workforce, it's getting better in here a little bit. Yeah, okay. I can feel it too. When you get into the workforce, you know, you often like, well, I'll do what I have to do to get a paycheck. You do what you have to do. But with the kingdom of God, God says, go over a little and above a little bit. Let the Spirit of God lead and guide you. And let me tell you, God will work on your behalf because you're doing more than what you're supposed to do. And let me tell you, the Spirit of God will do a mighty work and will give you favor with your bosses, will give you favor with the people that employ you and I. I know how it is to work out there. I know how it is to have somebody over you that's good and bad. And to have to pray for both of them, it's hard sometimes. But you do it. God says to pray for those that are in authority over you. David, anointed king over Israel, and finally one day took his position. That's God taking a little boy that's a shepherd out in a field that nobody knows almost, that the family could care less about almost. You tend and you take care of and make him a king. And not only a king, but making him a king that had a heart for God and that God loved. Not all of Israel's kings were good. A lot of them were bad. But David had a heart for God. And as he did what God wanted him to do, God provided ways for him to prosper him. Yes, we know David made a mistake. Yes, he did. He did. He messed up. Royally. He did. But there was something about him that God loved, that he ran to God and said, it's me. Take ownership of things that you do that you know are not right. Take ownership. He took ownership, and God blessed him for it. He said, I did wrong. and God blessed him. God will provide. Provide for us. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, can God do what he wants to do? God can do whatever he wants to do, but God has chosen to use people to get it done. Sometimes God wants to do something and can't get it done because there's nobody to do it. I wonder myself, honestly, how many men or women that God chose and spoke to come and build a church here that did not come. I don't know. I don't know. Every town, every city deserves a Pentecostal church so the Spirit of God can move and people can be saved and get filled with the Spirit of God. We need to do everything we can to live for God, to see God move, to have the power of God moving upon our church like we've never seen before. Don't be laxed, okay? Don't be laxed. Don't say, well, you know, whatever. Don't be laxed with the things of God. Let me tell you, honestly, you should be pertinent with those things of God. That should be a top priority. Take time to pray with God. Take time to listen to him. Take time to get to church where the power of God can come together and touch the people that are here. Let God be God. Let me tell you, you know, you never know when God may say, you, and point you out and say, come see, I have something for you. I've been in church services where, you know, I've often thought, God, if that person would have been here today. And I'm sure God was saying, I wanted him or her there. What God would have done. What God would have done. See, we can't lose out on the things of God. We got to pursue him like we've never pursued anybody before. We know we're living in the last days. We know God is about to split those eastern skies. Do whatever you can to let God be God in your heart and life. Do whatever you can to let him move within your heart and life. Pursue God. Pursue him. Don't be laxed. Don't be lazy with the things of God. Okay? Let God move. Pursue him. Saying, Lord, I'm going to do whatever I can. And you know, when I say, excuse me, when I say pursue him, I'm talking about pursuing him in his word, pursuing him in prayer, pursuing him in the godly things that we have that we know we can do to pursue him, and letting God be God. You'll find out as you pursue him that God will start opening up things for you like you've never seen before. And things will move. Amen. You may stand, please.